The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
This is the Inferno Podcast. It's the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place every week for an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome into the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. It is Season 2, Episode 11, and this episode brought to you by the fine folks at Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. We are talking women's basketball. Obviously, basketball season is right upon us. They've been going 2 or 3 weeks now, officially with practice, and head coach Randy Norton will hang out with us a little bit today. He's got an interesting background, as does our Blazer of the Week, Jordan Rozier. She comes to us from an athletic family. She's a transfer from South Alabama coming off a knee injury, and she's got a cool story as well. We'll also talk about all the fall events going on for this week, including, yes, the Battle for the Bones, Memphis and UAB playing football this weekend at Protective, and then also all the fall sports and actions as well. You can follow us on YouTube or wherever you want to catch the podcast here. Ring the bell for notifications. Be sure you don't miss anything there. There's all the list of those things for you there. So without any hesitation, we'll take our first break and we'll come back with Randy Norton, the head women's coach, here on the Inferno Podcast. Hang on. Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast, Coach's Corner Time, brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. We welcome Coach Randy Norton, the women's basketball coach. Randy, how you doing, man?
Great. Great to be on here with you and enjoy talking to you at the media days.
Yeah, American Conference Media. That was kind of cool to have in Birmingham.
Thought they did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Great venue down there. I thought it was very well ran.
So yeah.
Went pretty smooth.
Yeah. Two bald guys talking to each other. It's kind of cool.
Well, you're used to that, right? Around here?
Of course, yeah. I'm very used to it around here. It's kind of makes me feel at home. But I want to start with your name, because we were just kind of talking before we started rolling. Randy, which is a normal name. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But you have an interesting backstory to your name.
Well, first of all, it's just Randy. No Randall or anything like that.
And why you got that chip on your shoulder?
I don't know. I like just being Randy.
Okay.
But it was after Iowa's Heisman Trophy quarterback, Randy Duncan, and I was born in 59. And I don't know if he was a Heisman Trophy winner in 58 or 59, but he was a Heisman Trophy quarterback for Iowa, and my parents named me after him.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Did you make it like a mission to find out about him and kind of, have you met him or anything?
No, I've never met him, but, you know, obviously growing up in Iowa, had read about him, and I went to Iowa, so I, you know, I've always been very familiar with him. And, but, you know, people all the time are always, is it Randall? And I'm just plain old Randy.
Just Randy.
Just
and don't say that again.
No.
Exactly. Well, since we started there, let's stay there a minute before we talk about UAB basketball. You played at Iowa, basketball, obviously, and also played baseball, so a rare two-sport guy. And I think you started on the Big Ten championship game team for Iowa.
Well, so what happened in fourth grade, we always had to put our goals down. The teacher would have us put our goals, and I always wanted to play basketball and baseball. And she says, oh, honey, I think you need to find more realistic goals. And so ever since fourth grade, I was like, I'm going to play two sports in the Big Ten. And that was my goal from that point on. Well, I got to be a junior and senior, and I was being recruited for basketball and baseball by Big Ten, Big 12. But nobody would allow me to play both. And finally, the only school that was going to let me play both basketball and baseball was Creighton. So I had verbally committed to Creighton. And back then, the head coach would come in on signing day. They would fly in to your living room, and you'd sign. And it was Rick Apke at that time.
Yeah.
And I get a call from the baseball coach at Iowa, Dwayne Banks, and he says, hey, he goes, Coach Olson, who was the men's coach at that time for basketball, we'd like to come over and visit with you. So I'm like, okay. So they come over to our living room. We spent about 2 hours talking, and by the end of the night, they agreed that I would go on a basketball scholarship, and I would get to play baseball as well. But the agreement was I had to do both, and I couldn't, like during basketball, I still had to get over and do baseball workouts.
Oh, wow.
And also vice versa. So I was doing double duty. And I did that for 2 years. My freshman year, we won the Big Ten, and then sophomore year, our team went to the Final Four. And it was a great time to be an Iowa Hawkeye. That's also the same time that Bob Cummings was the football coach my freshman year, then Hayden Fry.
Yeah, the legend.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Came in and completely flipped the Iowa football program at that time. So it was an exciting time in the early 80s to be at Iowa.
Yeah, but Iowa had a great basketball history, too. People just don't.
They always had.
And Iowa State, obviously, we know about him with Tim Floyd and all the coaches they've had. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, was it difficult to do that and then keep
grades? It really was. I always joke with our team that I about flunked out of school, but I had a multiple injuries those first 2 years, and it was honestly, it was too much at that level. You know, if maybe a smaller level, I could have managed it, but there's so much demands on your time and the time that you have to put in for both sports. And so after my sophomore year, we decided, which is unusual, they took my full ride and put it over for baseball. So I had a full ride for baseball in the next 2 years.
So you didn't count against basketball? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I gotcha. What made you want to be a coach? Where'd that come from?
I grew up in a coaching family from my grandpa to my dad to my uncle. And so from the time I can remember, I grew up in a gym. On the football field, baseball field, because my dad did several sports. And so I just grew up around it ever since I can remember. And I always thought I want to play as long as I can. And I was able to play professional baseball till I was 25. And when I got let go, I went right into coaching. So I've either played or coached my entire life. I've done nothing else.
You don't own any nice clothes then. You just own sweats.
Whatever school I'm at, that's what I'm filled up with. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. So you started in men's, boys coaching, your tree, and we don't have time to go through all that. But where did the transition come to women's and why?
Well, I was at Davenport Assumption for 14 years, and while I was there, Robin Pinchton, back then it was Robin Becker at the time, she was at St. Ambrose, an NAI school about five blocks away. Long story short, we became friends. And we would do a lot of X and O, and then one fall she said, would you come over and put in your system, you know, offense, defense? And I'm like, what do you mean? She said, I want you to come over for 6 weeks because they don't really have any rules. And so I took my assistant, and we went over and taught her St. Ambrose team for 6 weeks. And it was a lot of fun. The first time I'd worked with females, coached females.
It's different.
It is.
Not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way at all. No. But really enjoyed my time over there. And she went on to Iowa State for 3 years. And she had said, someday when I get a head job, I want you to be my X and O guy. And I'm like, well, what would that mean? She goes, you get to put in all the offense, all the defense, plan practice. And so she got a head job at Illinois State. And at that time, I was the athletic director and the boys basketball coach in my 14th year. And our kids, oldest was going into seventh and youngest was going into second. So I've got four children. And so we decided this is a great time to make a move. And so I went from coaching high school boys to Division I women. And we were at Illinois State for 7 years. And we flipped a program there. Then we went to the University of Missouri. And I was there for 3 years thinking, we built a five-bedroom house on a pond. And I'm thinking, this is where I'll close out my career. And great, great town, Columbia. And I get a call from, it was actually Jeff Wolbrin, who was an assistant men's coach here at UAB for Jared Haas. And he said, I think our women's job's going to open. And my first thing was, where exactly is UAB? You know, because I hadn't really been in the South. Yeah. But he loved it here, and he loved Birmingham. And long story short, I'm in my 13th year at UAB.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy how coaching works out sometimes.
No, it is.
Yeah.
And won a Conference USA championship, now navigating American Conference, trying to get better there. And
yeah.
Obviously, there's a difference in those two leagues.
There is. And
competition.
You Well, yeah. So conference, you know, and every sport is different for each league. But in Conference USA women's basketball, the net ranking or whatever you want to look at, but was you typically ranked 12th to 14th in, for women's basketball in the country. The American in women's basketball is number 6. And a lot of people big don't difference. Realize how high a level women's basketball is in the American, but it's right there with the Power Fives or Power Four now, yeah, I guess we call them. But yeah, it's really good basketball. It's got great coaches in the league. You got some KG veteran coaches, and then you got some up and coming superstar coaches, I think, in our league.
So before we keep talking about UAB and what you got this year, I'm intrigued by the coaching women, because I had a daughter and I tried to help her and coach her a little bit, not in high school, but helped her. So it always, I sought advice on that. And the advice I got, and you tell me if you agree, disagree, or your experience, was you have to start with a positive, then go to correction, then end with a positive. That's the, you know, the female will listen to you. If you just jump on them all the time and scream, you're going to tune them out. But if you start with positive, correction, positive, that's a good way to do it. You ever heard that?
I have. So that's teaching 101. I was an educator. So we were taught that for guys and girls, anybody that you're teaching.
Really, the human spirit, right?
The human spirit. And so I've always taught that way, whether it was guys or girls. And I look at myself as a teacher first. I think with the guys, when I look back, I don't know if it was because I was younger or because it was guys, but I would get after them a little bit more than sometimes I will do our girls. But also I think that having my own children and watched how they were coached, I don't think anybody responds to somebody on them all the time. I think there's a time and place, and I think I found that whether it's guys or girls, they respond more if you're not always screaming and yelling, but when you do, you get their attention a lot more. But the positive, negative,
positive,
is, to me, that's how you handle anybody.
That's good.
All of us. That's the way I want to be.
No, yeah. You know, I mean, I think any human, even at a workplace, would want that.
Exactly.
Now, here's what you're doing wrong. You're doing this good, but let's work on this thing right here.
Yeah, I mean, when you start off with something positive right away, you got their attention because they're like, oh, great. What else?
And they're going to receive... And we use the word criticism, but whatever you want to call it, but they're going to receive that better if you...
Yeah. I like to say correction.
Yeah,
just correction. Correcting and teaching, a better way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you lost 5 off last year. A couple of them, you know, Andy Kennedy can... You guys, I'm sure, can have lunch and talk about these things. Go to better places, one to SEC, one to Big Ten. It's just, it's the level UAB is. If you really develop a player and they get really good with the NIL and today's athletics, they're liable to go. How have you navigated that? Do you have a philosophy yet, or is it constantly a learning process?
I think it's really a learning process. In our last couple of years, as we were talking before the show started, Denim DeShields, a couple of years ago, had no offers out of high school. We brought her in. We had her here for 2 years, became an all-conference player, and then started every game last year at Mississippi State. And then we had another girl, Mia Moore, came in for a year from Mississippi State, played a year for us, was a third-team all-conference player, and she started every game at Clemson. I think that our staff does a really good job developing players how to play the game of basketball. We spend a ton of time on player development, but like you mentioned, it's just, it's part of it.
Can't hate it.
No,
it's not going to do you any good, right?
How do you, and how do you get mad at a kid if they can make $100,000?
Yeah.
I mean, so to me, it's like, if you're in it for the right reasons, and it's to help players become the best they can be on and off the court, if they've got a better opportunity, it's, I mean, you can't really hold that against them.
Yeah.
Last year we had a kid, Jade Weathersby, that her freshman year didn't start much, kept developing, and after her sophomore year got an opportunity to go to Florida. So she's at Florida this year. So, yeah. So
you feel good because you're doing something right, that they're ascending. It's still difficult because you've got to go get new players, but that's just the way.
You hate losing them.
Yeah.
I mean, because you always think, man, if we still had all those players together, what
we'd
would
be
we
really
have?
Good.
But you can't do that. You just take a year at a time. You try to get the best roster you can put together and then go coach the heck out of them. Try to win as many games as you can.
Randy Norton, our guest, talking women's basketball here. So those go. How did you navigate this particular roster?
So this roster, We knew that we needed to get some shooters, and that's why Jordan is one of the players we brought in. We needed to boost our rebounding. Last year, we were last in the American in rebounding at both ends.
And still finished 500. That's crazy. Yeah,
well, and we would have been a lot better. We had some injuries. At one point, right. I think we were 15-6, 15-7, right in the hunt for the American, and then we just had some injuries that were killers, and we still were able to make postseason.
Right.
Back-to-back years. Yeah. What was your question?
Yeah, no, I was asking you about the makeup of the roster. How have you navigated that?
So we needed to bring in some shooters, and we needed to bring in more rebounding. We brought in 8 players. 4 of those are freshmen that are going to be really good players, but as you and I both know, they're still freshmen. Mm-hmm. There's that learning curve that they have to go through, but, man, they're great kids. They work really hard. They're extremely skilled. So excited about them. We got a JUCO transfer in Samari Taylor, 6'3", big body rebounder. Got a couple portal kids, Monet Duff, we call her Mo, Monet Duffy from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And then Lika K, I'm just going to call her last name K, but she came in from Xavier. She's 6'4", just a big, strong, wide body for us. So we really like our roster. Today is one of the days I can count on one hand since we started the summer that we didn't have a great practice.
Really?
90% of the time, my wife, I'll come home, how's practice? And I'm like, it was great.
Well, that's rare.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, usually, you know, it's like this all season. But this team has really been consistent with their energy level. They're really competitive, their effort. I think today we had an 8 a.m. practice. I just think they weren't quite ready to go from the get-go. They got going as the practice went.
Right.
Back in the old days when that would happen, there's a couple times I'd send them out of the gym or run them to death.
Be back at 2?
But you know what? Yeah. But the thing is, can't do that in a game.
No.
You know, you get off to a bad start in a game, you don't get to send them home.
Yeah.
So they have to figure out how to work through that and get back on track, just like a game.
So collectively, what do you have? Do you have a good defensive group? Do you have a group that is just going to bust it for you? What do you see so far? And that's early, and things can change, but what do you see right now?
Well, we shoot the ball really, really well. And I think we've got balance with an inside-out presence. You know, last year we were all 5 out. We really did not have any paint presence except the dribble drive. This year we got people we can throw the ball to inside and be able to play a little more in and out and get some balance. But we shoot it really well. Offensively, they're extremely unselfish. I don't know in all my years of coaching if I've had a team that shares the ball as well as this team does. They're all willing to make that extra pass.
That's huge.
Yeah, and it's about what's the best shot for the team, and that's how they play. So extremely unselfish. I think defensively, we're a work in progress. I think we're solid. And I think, you know, we got to keep teams off the glass. We got to keep teams out of the paint. And that's why we're playing our gap defense. We're really trying to keep teams from getting into the paint. And then we got to keep them off the glass because we don't have a huge team compared to other teams in America.
Right.
But you and I both know if you lay a body on somebody, it doesn't really matter how big you are if you play
that's
with
right.
that fight and that toughness. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
All right, so October 30th, shorter in an exhibition. I think exhibition games are critical. Most people we have in our minds, oh, it's exhibition. It's huge that they allow you to do this and you can get a real feel for your team against another team.
It's a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got a scrimmage a week from Saturday at Mercer. So we're excited to play
That's
somebody
huge
else.
Too. Yeah.
It is. But still, that exhibition, I like it. You got the crowd.
There's referees, crowd. It's a game.
Feels like a real game.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get the nerves out, the jitters, and, you know, how are we going to warm up? How are we, you know, what's our routines? When you've got 8 new players, it's pretty much brand new. And even though we have 5 players returning, 2 of those sat out last year, didn't play hardly. Well, 1 didn't play at all, Riley Talbert, and Callie Smallwood played 4 games.
Yeah, so basically didn't play.
Yeah. So we got 3 kids coming back. So everything we do in exhibition games, it's a dress rehearsal to prepare them to get them ready for when the season starts.
That's Thursday night. Is that a 7 o'clock or October 30th? 6 o'clock. All right, so that's 6 o'clock, couple of weeks, you get ready for that. And I'm not asking you to be Nostradamus for your prediction, But what's your feel for this team in the American Conference from what you know other teams have? Is this because you made the tournament last year with all those injuries. Well, what do you think now?
Well, it's really hard because we really don't know other teams' rosters that well. Because just like us, everybody else has new players too. So like South Florida, for instance, they won the conference tournament last year. But he's got almost a brand new roster.
Yeah, I mean, so it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really hard to know. I just know it's going to be very, very competitive. Where we stack up in the American, you know, I really like our roster. I like how we play. But you just don't know till you play between the lines, you know, until you tip it up and start playing. But I love coaching our team. And so for me as an old teacher coach, I love coming to practice every day and working with them because they play so hard and they compete. And everything we do is competitive. And so that makes it fun. So we'll be ready to go when it gets here.
We'll see what happens as the UAB women's get going. Randy, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
Don't call him Randall.
That's right, Randy.
Coach's Corner here brought to you by Viva Health and Pepsi. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Inferno Podcast in a moment.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends. If you can keep an eye on your money along the way. If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings. When you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to our Blazer of the Week here on the Inferno Podcast. Jordan Rozier joins us here as she's a player, a new player for UAB, coming from South Alabama and a bad injury last year. So tell me how that came about, because you have an injury, you just had thoughts, or what went through your head?
Yeah, so 8 games into the season, we were playing Ole Miss, and I went down with an ACL tear on my left knee. And that was at the time where I didn't know if I was going to be able to get my redshirt year back. And thank God I was able to. And I already played 4 years. And for a second, like, you know, once you get injured, you go through that emotion. And
sure.
I was like, I'm going to be done. I'm not. And I really just, like, went for a whim and got in the portal at the end of the year because I already went to South Alabama 4 years. I was graduated with my second degree. Then, like, my time was just up there. And got in the portal, and the first school to call me was UAB. So that's how I ended up here.
So why did you want to even continue playing basketball? I mean, you've gotten your fill. You've been good. You've got 2 degrees. What's that about?
I just really felt like that just wasn't how God wanted me to end my career. Like, I just knew I had a little left in the tank my junior year. Like, I really took off, and my senior year was supposed to be, like, the year coming off of that and coming down with the injury. I just didn't want to, like, end my season like that. So
I gotcha. So what grabbed you about UAB?
I really loved my initial conversation with Coach Kayla. She's not here right now, but the real family feel that UAB has. And when I went to South Alabama my first 2 years, I played for a coach. His name was Terry Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Coach Norton are really close. And when I was talking to Coach Fowler about my recruiting process, like, he really spoke highly of the people that they are. And obviously, when people are recruiting you, you know, it's all rainbows and roses.
Oh, yeah.
But just hearing that from somebody that I trust, I really knew, like, if I was to come here, I would be in good hands.
Yeah. So tell me about, first of all, I'm assuming you're full go on the knee and everything and all that kind of stuff. So tell me what kind of player you are. What do you see when you look in the mirror?
I really feel like I'm a little versatile. I know how to play the one. I've played the one my whole junior year, which I feel like that really has grown my game. I feel like I'm a knockdown shooter. I can really come off screens and get other people open, which I feel like is a very underrated part of a game, especially coming from a 2 and 3 guard. If you're not a point guard, you know, you're right. Supposed to get other people open. But, you know, I feel like I do a really good job at creating for myself, but at the same time creating for others. So,
got all that going for you.
Yeah.
So what is your feel of the team so far? We heard Randy, but players may be different. What do you see?
I'm really excited about this team. Every day it's like I come in here with like pure joy. I feel like it's really hard to have a team, especially a brand new team, and have all 13 people bought in every day, and you're just out there competing every day, and every day it's a new player that, you know, has exceeded the expectations, and it's just a real fun environment that I'm just so excited to like play somebody else.
Yeah.
So,
is it important on girls' teams to like your teammates?
Yeah, I would say.
And to have a bond.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially with that trust. I feel like trust especially is a lot off the court. You build it on and off the court. But especially on the court, I feel like getting it in every day with each other, make sure we go to war, but also pushing each other definitely like helps when the game time comes.
Yeah. All right, so you come from an athletic family. I think you had a sister play basketball. Malik Rozier, your brother was a starter on a very good Miami Hurricanes mm-hmm. team. How did that help shape you athletically?
Yeah, so we were the type of family that when we were young, you play all sports and you figure
don't stay
out,
in the house. Get yeah, out of here.
Sports yeah. was our calling. So they really, I guess, like paved the way for me. And my brother also, he played baseball and football at Miami his freshman okay. year. So my sports were between those three, softball, basketball, and some soccer. But softball just wasn't my calling whatsoever. I was scared of the bat and the ball. So I took over after my older sister, Chelsea, who played. And I really fell in love with the game of basketball in like 7th grade and really took off from there. So
yeah. So there's, I mean, not that you don't work, but there's a natural athletic inclination. Mm-hmm. Were your parents athletes?
Yeah, my mom, she played softball, and she was a really good horseback rider. My dad was a really? Baseball player. So sports was always, they were our coach up until high school, so they really bred us.
So, but you've already got 2 degrees, you said, and you know, the old adage of if you're really busy at sports, it almost forces you to make sure I get my studies in. Mm-hmm. Is that how it worked for you? Because obviously you're academically inclined as well.
Yeah. Luckily, I came in high school. I was able to do some dual enrollment, so I came in with my freshman year done. And so a
what?
Big thing.
Say that again. Hold on.
I did dual enrollment in high school, so I took college courses in
prep
high school.
Prep college. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Prep courses.
Yeah. So I was able to go into my freshman year of college with, like, my freshman year already done. So my
wow.
biggest goal was to just prepare me to I didn't expect to get hurt, so I knew 4 years I wanted to take advantage of those 4 years and leave with 2 degrees. So
and what are the degrees in?
I got my undergrad in marketing, and then I got my MBA last year. And now I'm doing a certificate in digital marketing to add to my undergrad.
But here it's business administration.
Yeah, but I'm also getting a certificate in...
And you have yeah. time for anything else?
Yeah, it's all online, so yeah. I'm able to do my work and then also come here and get
your
in.
Stuff done. Yeah. So what do you want to do when you grow up?
I really want to work in the sports industry, but on the administrative side, I've just learned that I don't think, like, I could be a coach. Their life is too hectic, but I love the administrative side of it, and I have had the opportunity to go to the NCAA Career Sports Forum
oh,
in
cool.
Indianapolis last May, and that really like opened up like my eyes on all the jobs that they have in sports. Honestly, they can really make up any job if they want you there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, hopefully I can find my footing in there when I'm done.
So we're talking about athletic director or just whatever, as long as it's
yeah,
administration?
Yeah, I would like to be on the marketing side of things,
okay.
but... you know, if it comes to athletic director, that would be really nice, but, you know, baby steps.
Baby steps, that's right. Jordan Rozier here with us, of course, transfer from South Alabama to UAB. And I know you don't know anything about this league, but what have you heard about it? And from what you've seen of your team, good shot? You feel good about being in the upper echelon of the league, making the tournament?
Coming in, I definitely heard that this league is fast, physical, and can shoot the ball. And I feel like we have all of those aspects. I know we're coming in kind of like the underdogs, but I feel like that kind of like lights a fire under us even more. And that just makes me more excited to go into the season with them. Like, there would be no other team I'd rather go to war with. So I'm excited.
And in this day and time, when there's so many new players on a team, it's not like you're going and there's nine returners.
Right.
It's just those days are gone. Has that been difficult to navigate? Because you probably saw it, if this is your fifth year, you probably saw it normal when you started, and now it's this.
Yeah. Actually, I feel like the way that they designed the summertime, we started doing stuff as a team since day one, and I think that kind of helped the chemistry come together a lot faster than, like, working on just posts and guards and a lot of skill stuff. Like, we started doing team stuff since day one, so that way having so many new people with freshmen coming in and five transfers and five returners, like, that helped, like, mold us even faster than, like, starting on day one of practice.
And it's important, again, I think, in the women's game, not to separate it from men's and supporting men's too, but really important that you guys got to jive together and get that bond going to have success on the court.
Yeah.
You agree with that, right?
I agree.
Yeah. So let's go to our lightning round. This is a fun round where we talk about anything that comes to your mind. So it's the first thing that pops in your mind. We ask kind of different questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did they warn you about this?
Yeah, I got warned a little bit.
Well, good. So you got warned. That's great. First of all, tell me what you love about Birmingham.
I love the food.
Everybody says food. It's
so
crazy.
Much food. Like, I came from Mobile, so, I had a little bit of
you got some food
there, but, like, the variety here is...
All right, so tell me about it. Like, where and what kind? And
I love... You can get wings, you can get Mexican. You can go on one street and get, like, four different things if you want. Like, and there's a lot of food trucks. I love the food trucks around here, which I'm not used to. So I've definitely, like, dived into, like, going to a different food truck every week. I don't know no names of them, but I just scroll on TikTok and I'm like, ooh, I'm going here.
Yeah. So is it different ethnic food groups you like?
Yeah.
You like Indian or Mexican?
I like Mexican. Yeah, that's really it, honestly. Other than American food.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
But you can't eat out all the time.
Yeah, I cook a lot.
So you cook.
Okay,
so what do you cook for yourself?
I cook a lot. I probably cook like five times out the week. I'll make like steak, chicken, pasta, any like tacos. I'm a big steak girl, so I make a lot of things with steak.
Where'd that skill come from?
My mom.
Really?
And my grandma, yeah.
Good cook. So you
I
paid
cook
attention.
For the team too. I'm the mom.
Cook for the team.
Yeah, I'm the mom. I've made Sunday dinner for them. I've made soup for them. I've made burger. I've made a lot of things. They call me Nana Joe. That's what my
you
name is.
You kind of looked down at the floor when you said Nana Joe. Is that a bad thing or?
Yeah, I'm the old head, but I didn't think I was gonna get Nana.
Anything but Nana.
Yeah. So that's my name on the team. They call me Nana Joe.
Nana Joe. All right. That's very cool. What's your favorite restaurant?
Outback. I'm an OG.
That's not even,
chain.
That's a chain.
I know, but it's just
You just
so
talked
good.
And bragged about Birmingham.
I know. There's like a food truck. It's called like Los Valeros. I'd probably go there. Like,
where is it? Give it a plug. Where?
It's in Homewood.
Homewood.
That's all I know. I don't know my way around.
You know how to
here.
Get there.
Yeah, I know how to get there.
I hear you. All right, so we've already covered what you want to do. Well, what do you like to do in your off time? What do you do to get away from everything?
Cook. I feel like that's a big therapy for me. And I like to do anything with my dog. I'm a dog mom, so my time outside of here goes towards her.
Are you walking the dog or?
Yeah, I stay right by Railroad Park, so me and Railroad, we go together real bad.
Yeah. So what's the name of the dog?
Remy. She's
Remy.
A cockapoo, so a cocker spaniel and a poodle.
Yeah. What made you go for that?
Dog.
Or was it just the way it happened?
Yeah, I thought she was cute. I wanted a cute dog. So.
It was real scientific. She was cute, right?
Yeah, I wanted it to fit my aesthetic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's your getaway. Mm-hmm. That's good, though.
Yeah, it's a nice balance. I'm here till about 2 o'clock every day. Then I go home, do my homework, cook, and then walk my dog.
You're like a normal human. Yeah. That's weird for a college kid, right?
I try. This is my fifth year, so.
Almost sounds like a Nana, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's why I got that name. I'm like, please get out the house. Why are you cooking in your apron? It's like, sorry.
That's funny. So tell me, do you have a favorite movie, favorite sports movie, favorite moment maybe from your childhood or growing up that's maybe impacted your life even now? Or
I would say favorite movies, Cheetah Girls, 1, 2, and 3.
All of them?
Yeah, I'm a big Disney fan. And I would say probably my biggest moment is probably like my ACL tear. I feel like that definitely opened up my eyes. Some people can look at things like that and look down upon it, but I feel like it's definitely like opened my eyes to, it allowed me to figure out who I was without basketball. And I feel like that was something that I didn't know before. And I'm glad I found that out before I was done with college. So I know my identity on the court and off the court now, which is, I feel like, really shaped my life.
Yeah, and overcoming adversity, right?
Yes.
Getting through something instead of, and I'm sure you had the moments of, why'd this happen to me? It's my senior year. I'm sure you went through, which everybody would.
Yeah.
How did you get through that?
Really just talking to God, really trying to figure out, it's not like a why me, but just knowing that, you know, everything happens for a reason and you always come out stronger. Like, I know that I'm a stronger person than what I was when I tore my ACL. I'm a better basketball player. I'm stronger in the weight room. I'm faster. Like, just knowing that all of that prepared me and got me to here now. And it's like, there's no other place I'd rather be for my fifth year, surrounded by the best people, I feel like, in the world, especially in this sporting industry. They're really good people.
Very good way to look at it.
Yeah.
So has the finality of it hit you? This is it. This is the last time. You're probably not going to the WNBA. Mm-hmm. You might. I don't know. But, you know, let's say you don't. This is your last go around. Every day counts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I came into this. And I feel like this is definitely like up my game, knowing that this is all my last. And I kind of took that a little bit for granted last year before I got hurt. So I'm glad that, you know, having that open my eyes and knowing that every day's got to count for me, so.
All right, so what music were you jiving to while you were going through the rehab, and what do you like? What gets you going?
I'm a big Chris Brown fan.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm a Chris Breezy fan day through day. I know all the songs, so it's either going to be
it's
him.
It's only Chris Brown, or?
Yeah, if I'm like in a sadder mood, like just, you know, want to get through, I'll maybe do some
melancholy,
like Rod Wave.
Okay.
But other than that, it's like Chris Brown, or I'll do Drake. I like Drake a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like,
that's
a kind big of
mainstream,
R&B
though.
Yeah.
Chris Brown's also kind of mainstream.
Yeah.
Do you have
but like I'm an OG, so
okay.
I know like even the old songs.
That's good. So give me an old song. That's a favorite.
We can go 2012, Sweet Love. You don't know stuff like that, but we can go
sure
down this. It's like an OG album.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's awesome. No. Music a big part of your life?
Yeah.
You got it going when you're cooking?
Yes. Always.
That's
It allows you to get out your head.
Yeah. There you go. Well, thanks for hanging out with us
today. Thank you for having me.
Jordan Rozier, the point guard. I guess, shooting guard, point guard, they play everywhere for UAB from South Alabama. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's our Blazer of the Week, Jordan Rozier. We'll take a break, come back with more here on the Inferno Podcast.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. This week at Blazer Nation, as we take a look at the events brought to you by Children's of Alabama. Of course, we got the women's cross country coming in October 17th for the Crimson Classic. That's a 9:20 a.m. beginning for that. A lot of things going on the 17th. Softball against Montevallo as they continue their exhibition season. And then volleyball against Tulane at 7 o'clock. Football game, Battle for the Bones. There it is. Memphis, UAB, under interim coach Alex Mortensen. It's homecoming. It's a huge day. It's a great day. Should be great weather. 3 o'clock kick for that one. Women's soccer on Sunday against Florida Atlantic University. That'll be down there at Boca Raton. And then UAB volleyball against Tulsa at 1 o'clock also on Sunday. Early next week, UAB women's golf, the Charles Brown Junior Intercollegiate going on, and then another softball exhibition against Itawamba. That'll be 5 o'clock on October 22nd. So a little less than normal, but still plenty of events to go check out if you are a UAB athletics fan. That'll do it here for Season 2, Episode 11 of the Inferno Podcast. We will see you next week right here on the Inferno Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.